wearing red, but you know, whatever. What color are you wearing, Derek Carey?
Say again?
What color are you wearing?
I am wearing black.
Okay, so you are back in black. There we go.
I'm back in black. I hit the sack. It's been so long. I'm glad to be back.
Nice. Okay, guys, I'm Jen.
I'm Carrie.
And we are back with episode 55. Excellent. Thanksgiving episode. We've got Thanksgiving just a couple of days away. Is it really?
I'm not a big Thanksgiving fan. Nah.
Really? Well, I mean, what's there not to like? Who's against, you know, eating everything in the house, eating enough food for a week, watching football, and then falling into a freaking food coma? What's the problem?
Okay, you're right. And those are the, and you know, I am looking forward to the leftovers for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But, yeah, and the football. But, you know, family. But I don't know what it is with the dynamic between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where Christmas is always so much more pleasant with family, but Thanksgiving is not.
Because Thanksgiving is a lot more stressful for the adults, believe it or not. It's so much a show of who can cook the best turkey, who can have the biggest spread, who can invite the most family, who can tolerate the most family, who can put up with the most drunks, who can watch the most football, who can party the most. It's all about a show. It's so much about impressing other adults. It's totally, just like Christmas, it's totally gone away from its original intention.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, we'll pick any holiday, any specific date we will pick to, you know, strut our stuff, show our feathers, and, you know, compare them to Joe Blow down the street or, you know, Mrs. Whoever from next door.
I do know that you best not screw up the pineapple upside down cake or it's your ass. It really is.
Is that what it is in your family? Is a pineapple upside down cake?
There's a whole lot of pressure, like you said. If you screw up the turkey, it's just over. You know what I mean?
Right. Or if you allow the dog to get the turkey, which has happened once or twice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We've kind of talked about seeing if there were some Chinese restaurants open for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and kind of do that thing that they did in Christmas Story with the dog getting the turkey and them having to go get Asian food. I'm like, dude, I would love just a huge to-go of some, you know, sesame chicken.
Well, sesame chicken notwithstanding, I do know IHOP is open on both Thanksgiving and Christmas. Don't ask me how I know. I won't tell you. But it is open on both Thanksgiving and Christmas. And IHOP does have a special family special with 8 pancakes, 8 pieces of bacon, 8 sausage links, 4 servings of hash browns, and 8 eggs for $24.99. Lots of food, little price. That's the price of it here in my area.
That's a lot of food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to put a pin in that. Maybe revisit that.
Oh, yeah. But, I have reason to know. So, yeah, and it's good food, too. So,
yeah.
Yep. But since it is close to Thanksgiving, I did want to spend a couple of minutes going over a lot of the good things that have happened this year for our guys. Of course, Hiddleston, it's very easy to see. Hiddleston now has the wife, the kid, apparently the life that he's always wanted. And is still maintaining the barrier between professional and personal life, unfortunately. Nothing new, guys. I'm so sorry to have to tell you there is absolutely no news whatsoever, no more news whatsoever about the Hiddle baby other than it is now here and living free from its mother. That is it. That is all. That is all we know. And yes, it is irritating me to no end.
Yeah. You know, that being said, he professionally in 2022, he did the Essex Serpent.
Right.
He hasn't done any movies since, I think, 2019 or 2020. It's been this one piece of TV work, and then he did something for Marvel Studios Assembled in What If?
Right.
Where he was Loki. But that's pretty much kind of the only work he's done recently.
Well, no. That is the only...
Loki would be 2021.
That is the only worldwide work he's done. He's been doing stage acting for the last year. He's been performing on stage in England.
Wow, so we went back to stage.
Yes, that's where he met his wife. Yes, that's where he met his wife. And yeah, he's been doing a lot of stage acting this year. Number one, it keeps him close to home. Which I'm sure was a big plus with the pregnant wife, or the pregnant girlfriend, whatever. And, you know, and the baby on the way, the whole relationship blooming thing, the whole trying to get ready for the wedding thing. All of that, you know, staying close to home was probably a necessity this year.
Sure.
And of course, then we have Johnny, who won his defamation trial.
Yep.
Proved once and for all that he was telling the truth from the beginning, and that, you know, Amber just needs to let it go. Just let it go. Okay, you lied. We get it. We know why. But you're caught. It's over. Just write it off as a bad deal and move on.
Yeah, move on.
You know, I don't know where you're going to move to, since Hollywood has nothing for you anymore. And neither does the United States or England or, you know, pretty much anywhere else. But, you know, good luck.
Well, and, you know, and awful for her. On the other side of the coin, Johnny ended up basically being exonerated via the legal system.
Yep.
And there's a lot of very just happy, positive hubbub about his projects that are going to be coming up.
Yes, projects, plural.
Certainly in 2023.
Projects, plural, which is a definite good thing for all of us death heads out here that have been aching for new Johnny Depp material. So,
right.
You know. But
what was Johnny's last material? What's the last thing that was recent?
I think was, I can't remember the name of the country.
Has he done anything since the trial?
I don't think so, but that doesn't mean I'm right. Give me just a second and I will tell you. I think the last thing he did was the MTV Video Music Awards. If I'm remembering correctly.
He did Sing 2. He did a part in Sing 2. Oh,
okay.
My God.
Oh, and he's been touring with Jeff Beck.
Yeah, he has been on tour.
He's been on tour here in the States with Jeff Beck. Remember, because I was so upset that he didn't join the tour until October 4th, and they came to Atlanta October 1st.
Yeah.
We're not even going to go there. I don't want to get angry and upset and pissed off again. That's just, that wouldn't be good. But,
right. But
yeah. So,
oh, well, great. So yeah, we've got some projects that are probably on the way for Johnny. He's kind of, I think, spent 2022 going through a legal battle,
right?
Defending himself successfully and just kind of repositioning himself. He was kind of persecuted early, I think. And now that he's exonerated himself, he's kind of resetting, and everybody's realizing that several companies were pretty shitty for that.
Right. However, is it Dior that makes Sauvage?
Dior.
Yes, it's Dior. Okay, Dior never wavered, never blinked, never attempted to remove him from their campaign. As a matter of fact, they re-signed him before the trial ever occurred.
Wow.
So, Dior, if you guys have the money and the wherewithal and the good taste to go shopping for cologne, Dior would be, that would be the place to spend your money. They are tried and true, and they didn't back down. So
I got mine before all this. I'm a Sauvage man myself, but now I'm starting to think that I need to start saving it for special occasions. Actually, that was some time ago. I was like, shit.
Has, and part of the reason that it has is because
Johnny was innocent.
Because of Johnny. Absolutely. Yep.
Damn, girl. I guess it was a pretty good year for Christian Dior, too.
Absolutely. But yeah, I do believe that the MTV Music Awards was the last nationwide or worldwide thing that Johnny did.
Yeah.
But yeah, so actually I've got a lot to be thankful for this holiday season as well. I've got both of my younger twins are doing fantastically in their chosen professions. My daughter just got married. And I do believe we will give her a call here in a little bit just to basically just check in with her and say hello.
Right.
So we'll do that in a bit. I'm also working on planning my move, which of course Carrie knows all about. I should be relocating to a different state entirely, and that's going to be very good news. And so what about you, Carrie?
Talk about the hometown. Yeah. The hometown.
Oh, yeah. My new hometown. Can't wait. Thanks for.
I guess a pretty good job. That's about it. Actually, some pretty good kids.
You got some amazing children.
Yeah. My oldest has just started college, and she seems to be doing pretty good. Maybe she also might be blowing smoke up my ass. I can't wait to see this report December 10.
But at the same time, either way, if she's blowing smoke or if she's doing well, it's about her now. It's about her future. It's about her desires. It's about her moving forward. So really, if she's not doing well, all you can do is offer help and advice. If she is doing well, of course, give her the bravos and, let her know how proud you are of her either way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, she's definitely kind of stepped up. She's pretty mature for her age.
Yes, she is.
All is going well. And then my youngest is 12. He's on the spectrum, but he is really, really pleasant, really imaginative, and is doing pretty good in school except for math.
And that's okay because he's got Aunt Jen to help him out there.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah,
he's
also, both of your children are also brilliant in their own selective ways. They are both just top of the scale, intelligent, absolutely brilliant. I have no doubt both of them will succeed in whatever they decide they want to do.
I'm sure that 2023 is going to be a good year for them too.
Oh yeah.
You know, good things. Good
absolutely.
Things.
Definitely wishing for the good things for you and yours, as well as me and mine.
Indeed.
All right. So we have been here lately. We've been discussing some of our supporting actors in the Depp films and the Hiddleston films. Now, last week, before we went off into left field and just completely abandoned the original...
it was pretty much ditched.
Yeah, it was fun, though. We had fun.
Good.
Yeah, we had Barry on the podcast. That was fun. We haven't had him there for a while. So, yeah, that was fun. But yeah, we've been doing the supporting actors. With last week, we did two of the actors that worked with Depp on various films. One or two or three of them, including the Pirates of the Caribbean series.
Yeah.
Now, another link in that between Depp and Hiddleston is the man who played Cutler Beckett. That is Tom Hollander, who also plays Corky in Night Manager with Tom Hiddleston. So add that to the list. However, I was looking today, I wanted to look at a couple of the guys that play some of the supporting characters in Tom Hiddleston's Crimson Peak. And no, I didn't do Marvel because there are so many different supporting characters in the Marvel universe. And each and every one of them are very well known in their own right.
Yeah.
I want to bring some of our bit players, some of our character actors, some of our background players a bit more into the limelight. So using the MCU for that is just not feasible. It's not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, the MCU, I've noticed, yeah, they have a great deal of supporting characters, but Night Manager is one of those projects that had a big cast, actually. Hiddleston's connections.
Oh, right, yes. Absolutely.
And, you know, he worked.
Well, that they may not be well-known pros. I mean, like Mia, when he first worked with her in Only Lovers Left Alive, she was not well-known.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you'll see, you know, a lot of guys that are like that in the Night Manager.
Right.
They're established actors, really established actors that it's got to be a pleasure to work with. And it seems like the MCU has kind of done that also for Tom.
Right.
And then you get something like Crimson Peak, and you start looking at the cast list there, and it's just kind of an example of a lot of pro actors, real professional, you know, straightforward
working
actors.
Working actors. It was put last week. Working actors.
Ah, great way to put it.
Yep. But yeah, so the two guys that I would like to kind of bring a little bit more to the forefront.
Two of these guys.
You know them, you love them. The first one played the father on Crimson Peak. His real name is Jim Beaver. Please, no jokes. No jokes. But his name is Jim Beaver.
You know he's going to be an overachiever.
Absolutely. He played, what was his name in? Carter Cushing in Crimson Peak. He was Edith Cushing's father. He's the one that the sister murders in the spa. So, but yeah, he has been in so many different things. He's been in buku movies. But most of the movies, though, are either they're not well known or, I mean, 90% of them I'd never heard of, I have to admit.
Yeah. And a lot of actors, you know, would say that's probably the prime lifestyle where you're just like, oh, yeah, I'm in some, you know,
right,
quirky, interesting stuff.
However, a few that popped out at me, he played one of the detectives in 1992's Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg. I love that movie.
Let's reach back into this guy's filmography. What's some like really interesting weird stuff he's
done? Okay. His filmography starts in 1977.
Yeah.
His first credited film that looks like would be in 1987. Movie called Hollywood Shuffle, which I have never seen.
Oh, Hollywood Shuffle.
Yep, he played a postal worker. So,
I did not know he was in that.
That most people would not. Right. Now, in 1989, he was in Turner and Hooch. Let's see.
He did a really long stint on Days, right?
Yes, Days of Our Lives.
He was
on
Days. Yeah, he was a
suits him.
Yeah, right.
He was also on Santa Barbara, and I'm pulling these off.
He was on Melrose Place.
Yes. Let's see.
X-Files.
Oh God, no, wait. Okay. Let's see. He was on Divorce Court, Dallas, Matlock. Let's see. Father Dowling Mysteries, Santa Barbara.
He was a regular on Supernatural.
Yes, he was. He was on Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman.
Oh, ah.
Gunsmoke, The New Gunsmoke, The Long Ride, Home Improvement. He was in that for a while.
What?
Let's see. Days of Our Lives. He was there from 1996 to 2004. He played Father Timothy Jansen. He was on NYPD Blue. Let's see. Melrose Place. He was on The Boys. Third Rock from the Sun. That 70s Show. Star Trek Enterprise. Tremors, the TV show. Monk. Deadwood. CSI.
Yep.
Supernatural. Criminal Minds. Law and Order. The Mentalist. Love Bites. Breaking Bad. Dexter. Mike and Molly. NCIS. Better Call Saul. The Boys, Watchmen, Young Sheldon. So, yeah, he's been on pretty much every fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
he's a good guest episode guy. He does movies. He does, you know,
walk-ons,
character parts.
He's just amazing. He's got such a list of movies and TV shows under his belt. Absolutely incredible to me. But yeah, it's huge. He's huge. And I'd never heard his name.
You know, it's pretty... It allows him, I kind of think, to sort of, if he wanted to, blend into the background with his regular daily life. You know, the man, first of all, has worked enough and is respected enough to have a really nice freaking house and probably a great car.
Right.
You know, he's certainly not wanting for the money, and he can still probably, to some degree,
blend in and maintain a normal life.
Yeah, and has worked enough, and I mean, you know, this seems like this is an actor that they're like, yeah, we're going to be able to call in, you know, Jim Beaver, And he's gonna do the thing.
Right. Oh, and he's got his memoir was published in April 2009. So that is called Life's That Way. So if you guys are interested in a little bit more or something else to do or something to read, there you go. Life's That Way, Jim Beaver's memoir. But yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. And I think it's really funny. He's born the same year and almost the same day as my mother.
Way to put it in perspective, yeah.
So, yeah, and just, he does not appear to be that old to me. Really, he doesn't.
Well, even Hollywood in treatments.
Even in Crimson Peak. Crimson Peak was, I want to say 2015? Let's see. Yep, Crimson Peak, 2015. So that would have made him 65?
Yeah. And, you know, let's face it. When, you know, Guillermo del Toro wants you to play the father of the female protagonist, you're probably a good actor.
Oh, yes.
And this guy, you're right, that scene where he examined his hands
and he tells him, he works for a living.
Right.
And that he had to build buildings before he could own them. But he essentially told Hiddleston's character that he'd never done a day's work in his life. His hands were too soft.
Right. He was a pansy. You know, he didn't respect them.
Right. Absolutely zero respect.
And you kind of felt it. You know, Hiddleston's character didn't say anything. And I'm like, yeah. Just, you know, I mean, he did. But don't stand up to this guy right away. It was a very powerful scene. And Jim Beaver pulled it off.
Absolutely he did. It was amazing. And
that was great.
The condescension and the disdain that comes across in pretty much every scene between Beaver and Hiddleston. Yeah. It is just, it's flawless.
You know, that being said, I didn't necessarily mind when he died.
Actually, I did, because he was just trying to look after his daughter. And his reward for trying to be a good parent was death. So, you know, that kind of sucked. But it would have been a really short movie otherwise.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was portraying a product of the time.
Right.
He was pretty effective at it.
That he was. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just in everything that he does, he's the consummate character actor. He's the... as you said, no matter what role is needed, call Jim Beaver. He can bring the role to life.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure a lot of directors and maybe writers have seen his work and they're like thinking of a story like a Jim Beaver type would be fantastic. Can we get him?
Right.
And then they kind of complete the role if they get him.
Right. And, you know, they write it with him in mind.
Yeah, and which is apparently pretty common.
It is. That it is. Del Toro is infamous for doing just that.
Yes, ma'am.
When we reviewed Crimson Peak, that was one of the things that popped out at me was that, number one, he wrote a 10 to 15 page backstory for each one of the characters, which they knew their backstory. But the other characters, the other actors, did not. So there was a lot going on behind the scenes, even between the different actors that came forward and showed in the way they reacted to each other on screen.
Very cool.
And Del Toro did rewrite several of the parts when he got certain actors and actresses to sign. He rewrote parts to make it fit them better.
Sure, yeah. And that's how it works, you know.
Oh, yeah. And that's
I would like to think that they wrote, you know, Iron Man in mind when they found out that they had, you know, Robert Downey Jr.
Right. But I mean, really, who else could pull it off? You know, the spoiled rich kid, the multi-billionaire playboy, philanthropist, alcoholic, drug addicted superhero.
Right. Yeah. You know, I could see them saying, you know, he should be like Robert Downey Jr., but maybe a genius technician.
Right. Right. But yeah, I mean, who else could have played that role? Come on. I can't think of not a one.
Yeah, and, you know, I like to think that that was kind of tailor-made. Yeah, he made it that role.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can think of a lot of actors. I would love for a villain to be a Christopher Walken-type villain, and you basically...
That's actually been done. Christopher Walken has had parts written for him many times. It does not... You don't see him... Except once, like, you don't see who it is, but Sleepy Hollow. That part was written for Christopher Walken.
Absolutely.
It was. It was written specifically for him, with him in mind when they put pen to paper.
Would love to see him in the MCU.
Oh, yes. Now that is...
Make an amazing villain.
Okay, we were trying to think at one time of actors who were not involved with the MCU. I think you've just found the other one other than Johnny Depp.
That's a pretty good one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he would be amazing. He'd be an amazing villain. I don't think he would make a great good guy. I really don't think he would.
We'd have to look at that. I mean, it would have to really fit right.
Yeah, definitely. But, so yeah, Jim Beaver, guys, look him up. Check him out. He's amazing. He has a... portfolio of movies and TV shows as long as my... I was going to say my arm, but hell, it's as long as my entire body.
It's longer than your arm.
Yeah, it's longer than my entire body. I mean, it's huge. So he definitely deserves the respect and the kudos for his supporting roles.
And, you know, one more time, I have to do it every week. Great work on The Boys. Gotta talk about The Boys.
Oh, yes.
It's unfortunate what happened to Jim. Actually, on The Boys.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't been able to get past the first couple episodes, so... oh, hush. What happens? So what happens to him?
He ends up getting killed.
Oh, I figured that.
Superheroes.
Yeah. By who?
Superheroes.
I know, which ones?
Mm-mm.
Not saying. it was probably the Aqua guy and friggin'...
Well, let's say it was a setup.
Oh, of course.
So you're definitely on the right train of thought.
Right.
But yeah, you know, he's doing, he did The Boys for 6 or 7 episodes.
Six.
Was it? Oh.
Yeah, it's on his filmography.
Very good.
6 episodes.
And what was his name? Danger Joe?
His name on...
The Boys.
On The Boys? Was, I just passed it. He was Robert Dakota Bob Singer.
Dakota Bob. Gotcha. Dakota Bob.
So, yeah. He actually has an... Not surprising that he popped up on The Boys, actually.
Yeah.
Now, the other actor that I would like to discuss a little bit, and I think this is the one we're going to call Mickey on, I think. Charles Hunnam. Okay?
Hunnam.
Okay. I've seen him in the role that everybody knows him, you know, for. And I'll mention what that is here in a minute. But when I saw Crimson Peak, I did not connect the two. There's no way they could be the same person. Absolutely no way.
Oh, yeah.
One character is a bearded, leather-wearing biker roughneck, and the Crimson Peak character is a pasty, mealy-mouthed, slick-haired, clean-shaven doctor in the 19th century.
Yeah, but, nah, he was clean-shaven. I don't know. He was clean-shaven.
And he had his hair plastered to his head as if... pasty white. He didn't have that gorgeous tan. But anyway, he's... Park.
Really?
Yeah, we had this discussion. Remember the black guy the black guy that helps out, and this is the second character he's played that is an American character. The first was what in the world?
Excuse me.
Yes, please. One moment, no problem. Yeah, well, I just don't want to get sued for Star Trek music. but yeah, I can't call his name to save my life right now. And I do not have my notes for that particular show in front of me. So, but anyways, he also played Homeland CIA lead in another movie. So, but I've noticed the more British actors playing American parts, there is a certain accent that they have. I noticed it in with Charlie Hunnam in Sons of Anarchy, and I noticed it in Night Manager with the other actor that also played an American. So there is a certain lilt to the way they speak.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's very difficult to recognize. You would swear these guys were born bred Texans or, you know, Mid-Eastern or Midwesterners.
Some Englishmen do it great. And Daniel Craig is infamous for doing it badly. And that lilt like comes out, you're like, you're British.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Daniel Craig is not a good one to,
he did Knives Out, and he was playing a Kentucky lawyer, and I'm like, you aren't from Kentucky, you're actually, it almost sounds like you're Welsh, dude.
And, of course, you know, Tom Hiddleston is a very good voice.
Yeah, how was he in Walk the Line?
I thought he was convincing. I did think he was convincing. He actually,
awesome.
He also sang the songs that you see him sing on the movie. He did sing those songs.
Right.
He actually recorded them in a studio, however. And while they were recording the movie, he lip synced them. But that is his voice that you're hearing. I thought it was amazing. I thought he did an absolutely spectacular job. About the only ones who disagree with me are the family of Hank Williams. So,
well, nothing's going to be perfect.
Well, yeah.
As far as they're concerned, you know.
It is Hank Williams, right? Walk the Line?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hank Williams Sr.
Hank Williams the third. Actually blasted Hiddleston, saying that he had no, that the music, when he sang the music, it had no soul, he had no had no soul in him, had no rhythm, and just blasted him really badly. It was awful. I was like, man, come on. This is a British actor playing not only an American, but a redneck, deep Southern Alabama boy. Give the man a break, why don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, appreciate the exposure.
Right.
You know, we're talking to you again, so shut up and, you know.
Exactly.
Blast Tom Hiddleston.
Yep.
Guys literally from Madison, Alabama. Shut up.
All righty then. Okay, let's get back to Charlie here. Now, he has been...
And if you don't mind... Charlie, I knew from Sons of Anarchy, sure, but he was the lead in Pacific Rim, which was an amazing Guillermo del Toro movie.
Are you? I'm gonna have to watch that again.
He was the male lead, and
no way.
Yeah, he was the guy.
Oh my goodness!
He was like the lead mech pilot.
Yeah,
in
Pacific
Rim, and I think the next year,
Raleigh Beckett, right here. Yeah.
And then the next year, you know, Del Toro really likes him.
Right.
And he's an amazing actor.
Guess what else he was in?
Yeah, lay it on me.
Nicholas Nickleby.
Of course.
It all goes back to that, doesn't it?
God damn it. You know what? I think you were actually. Weren't you in Nicholas Nickleby?
No, I was not. I would love to say I was. That would be great.
You were probably, no kidding, 2 degrees of separation from being, I mean, everybody was in Nicholas Nickleby.
Okay, I'm looking right now because I didn't notice it to begin with, but I'm looking just in case. I'm looking to see if Jim was in Nicholas Nickleby. And it does not appear to be so.
All right.
So, but yeah, he was in Nicholas Nickleby.
Of course.
And that was actually put out in 2002. That's the movie version of the English series, I believe.
That was a long time ago. How old is Charlie Hunnam?
Let's see. He was born... I know it did not say that. Hang on. No way. Okay, matter of fact, he's got a birthday just a couple of days, or one day, from Hiddleston's. He was born, Hiddleston is February, he's born in April. So, April 10th, 1980. So, okay. He is...
10 years younger than
42?
Me.
Yeah.
Hell, I thought it was in his early 30s.
I did as well. But there again, you know, I really haven't seen him in much since Crimson Peak. So, and that was put out in 2015. So.
He did Lost City of Z.
Yep.
I saw that.
Yeah.
He's done a couple of Guy Ritchie movies. And I love Guy Ritchie.
Oh, he was in Jungle Land. Okay.
Yeah. He was in Children of Men. Love that movie. He was the star of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Legend of the Sword, I was just about to say. Papillon. Papillon as well in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
He has, of course, his repertoire is not near as advanced as Jim's is, but, you know, he's not near as old either.
Yeah, so, he's younger. But he's been the male lead in a lot of productions.
That he has. And for him to step back from the lead and, and take on a supporting role, that's a big deal. I don't know exactly. I've not seen any interviews or anything to kind of explain the whys of it. As to why that was appealing to him. And there again, he may just be a working actor. They offered him the role and he took it.
Right.
So, he's quite an accomplished actor. He is very good at what he does. And let's face it, guys, he is absolutely gorgeous. Looks much better with the scruffy beard and the leather than he does in the suit and tie, but, you know, we can't all be perfect.
He was in a awesome movie called The Gentleman in 2019, and it was him equal billing, him, Matthew McConaughey,
oh wow,
Colin Farrell, Hugh Grant.
What?
It was a big production. It was a Guy Ritchie movie.
Okay.
And he was kind of Matthew McConaughey was this American weed dealer that had an empire in Britain, and Charlie Hunnam was like his right hand man. British guy, had the sharp suits, the trimmed beard, and it was a very violent but super interesting kind of cerebral movie, and everybody killed it in it.
Oh wow.
And Charlie Hunnam, people were like, well, he's just now gone past pretty boy, and he is truly, truly a fantastic actor.
Right.
He ended up getting several nominations for the role.
Yes, he did. I was about to bring that up, as a matter of fact. Let's see. Some of the awards and nominations that he's... Actually, he did not get awards or nominations for that role. He did not...
Oh my God, he actually won at Nicholas Nickleby.
Yep.
Oh my God.
You're
kidding me.
He won the Nicholas Nickleby. He won Pacific Rim. He won King Arthur Legend of the Sword. Was nominated.
CinemaCon.
Yep. And was nominated.
Which is huge.
Yeah. And won Male Star of the Year at CinemaCon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And of course, now for Sons of Anarchy, he was nominated for
everything.
Everything. Best actor in a drama series, best cast, favorite cable TV actor, best actor in a drama. Yeah,
best
he was nominated.
Drama.
Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different nominations between 2011 and 2015.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment for an actor.
Actually, it is. It certainly is. But, yeah, you know, I have my trivia deal that pops up on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It popped up earlier today, and I just happened to be looking at my phone. Not as many as Walt Disney. Walt Disney received 35 awards, received 35 Oscars in like 1 year. So.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I may be misquoting that. I don't have it in front of me, but yeah. It was insane.
They had some huge, huge years.
But of course, you know, that was back when you only had a couple of TV, a couple of movie companies, Walt Disney being one of them, so.
You know, three-channel TV, if you had TV.
Two, excuse me. We didn't get the third. We got PBS and CBS.
Damn. You were country.
Oh, honey. We was country when country wasn't cool.
No, I think that was Tanya Tucker.
Yeah. Oh, no matter. Okay, we've got a few more minutes here. Why don't we give Mickey a call, see what she has to say about Mr. Charlie Hunnam, and catch up with her a little bit, check in with her, see how the wedding went.
Yeah, let's see.
And I will, while you're getting her on the phone, I am going to explain a little bit about Mickey. Hey guys, so my daughter has just married her girlfriend of 2.5 years. They are very cute together, but her wedding was fantastic from what I hear. And she had Chick-fil-A cater it, which I thought was amazing. So she's going to get the pictures that she had taken with the Chick-fil-A food and send them to Chick-fil-A corporate with a big thank you from the gay couple. So that's going to be really awesome. I can't wait. For those of you who have been living under a rock and do not get why it's so funny and why it's so ironic, Chick-fil-A does not support LGBTQ at all for any reason. So I just thought it was very ironic that they had Chick-fil-A cater their wedding. It was great. All right. So did we get you on the phone? Mickey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, guys. My daughter Mickey. So the wedding was good?
Yeah, it was great.
Cool. I was just kind of explaining a little bit as to, you know, who you are, who you married, and you know, a little bit like that. I would love to get your permission to put a few pictures of you and Kat up on our blog.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Very cool. Like that. We'll do it. So, Charlie Hunnam. I told you you knew who he was. Jax Teller. Did you ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, I've actually seen all of those Sons of Anarchy.
Well, there you go. Okay, so what do you think of Charlie as an actor?
I thought he was really good in that. It definitely showed, you know, like, a great character arc for him to act in.
Nice. Now, I've not watched the series. I just, you know, was in lust with the character from the previews. So
there were a lot of good actors and characters in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh yeah, what's the guy? He plays Hellboy.
Yeah, Ron Perlman. He was the bomb.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
And Kathy Siegel. You know, she was Peg Bundy. Yeah, you know, and she was amazing. She was pretty fierce. She was not to be fucked with. I really liked your character.
Oh, yeah, that was Peg Bundy, too.
Yeah, from the first episode, you know, she went to the hospital to, you know, see her young friend. And, you know, she's like, listen, we all grew up. What kind of changed? And she screamed at her, you know, Kathy Siegel's character, and goes, I didn't change.
Oh, my God. So and she's a brat.
Yeah.
She's one of those love to hate characters.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like you like, I don't know, you're like forced into like identifying with her, but at the same time
you hate her.
Oh my God, you're such a
We are an NC-17 podcast. You can say that. You can say she's a total fucking bitch.
So there's like moments where you're just like, oh yeah, she's totally right, and then there's moments where you're like, oh my god, I can't believe you did this.
Yeah, I cannot believe this bitch. Definitely.
Yeah.
So you're back on.
She was a great actress.
Oh yeah, I love her in everything.
Okay, yep. So baby, you're back on the road, having not been married more than what, 2 weeks?
Oh yeah, yeah. So we got married on Friday, and I was back on the road Sunday.
Oh man, a short honeymoon.
Yeah. We're gonna do the actual honeymoon this next year.
Oh cool. Baby going with you?
Probably.
I figured. Well, you know, Grandma's always around if she needs some place to be when you're off doing what you do on your honeymoon, you know, you can always call Grandma. Grandma will come. Or, I'm sorry, it's MAGA.
MAGA.
MAGA. I have been MAGA since the child started to talk, and I think I will probably be MAGA until years after they put me in the ground. So...
You're the only one with an actual grandma name. Everybody else is just grandma. So.
Nice.
Oh, wow. So I actually have a special name. I like it.
Yeah. You need a meemaw.
Right? You see,
yeah.
My mother is Gigi.
Oh, Gigi. That's
great
right.
Grandma.
I forgot.
Yep. Great
Gigi
grandma.
Has a special name, too.
Yep. My mom is Gigi. Well, mom's a little special, so it's okay. But my mom is Gigi, and I am MAGA. Now, why she got dyslexic on my name, I have no idea, but it works. So you had Chick-fil-A cater the gay wedding.
Yeah.
Very nice. So are you going to do the whole send the pictures to corporate thing?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to put together the, you know, just like the first couple of plates, pictures and stuff like that. And send them up there and be like, hey, thanks. Yeah. It was great.
You supported us whether you like it or not.
Right.
Was anything said by, or did they just come in, drop the food and go?
We didn't even have them drop the food. You know, you have to order like over $300 worth of food for them to deliver it.
Really? Right. No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Like.
So y'all just had to go by and pick it up?
Yeah, we just had somebody pick it up for us.
Okay, I was going to ask if there was, you know, if any comments were made, but if they didn't drop it off, they wouldn't have known.
I did have one of our queer couple friends go and pick it up, though.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Oh, yeah.
Listen, before we do not get the chance, because it's a thoughtful thing, you know, Mickey, we've been doing a traditional question of what is your favorite Johnny Depp movie
and Tom Hiddleston movie.
Tom Hiddleston movie. What have you got?
I'm not familiar with Tom Hiddleston all that much. I think my favorite Johnny Depp movie is Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Or The Corpse Bride.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna say I know those two are among your favorite movies.
And Barber, Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yes. Gotta love Sweeney Todd.
Was great. Yeah.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd's pretty great.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, Barry has a real problem with Helena Bonham Carter. So
I absolutely, like, am smitten over Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, he freaked out. I showed him the tuna picture. He freaked out.
Oh, gosh, I love her tuna pictures.
Carrie, in case you didn't know.
I got it.
Okay, the Save the Tuna God thing. Damn. A bunch of actresses pose nude with tuna.
Yep.
Yeah. Barry could not get over it. He flipped out.
Oh, man. It was the background of my phone for like a year and a half.
Oh, yeah. So, guys, I guess I'll have to post the Helena Bonham Carter tuna picture to the blog as well. The blog, sad to say, I have not been updating it regularly. I am going to try to remedy that. Having some issues with my Wi-Fi. So getting onto the blog to update it has become an issue. So I'm working on that. Working on getting that ironed out. So, you know, hopefully we will have more consistent posts soon to come. So, Mickey, I know you know Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
Yeah, as Loki, right?
Okay, what did you think about it? I think that's probably the only thing you've seen with him in it. But what do you think about the actor and the way he portrayed the character?
I think the only one I've seen is Ragnarok, and that's because I was expecting, like, the story.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Well, this is the MCU.
Yes, Mickey.
Version.
Yes.
It's not the Norse
we
mythology
did not get
version.
Ragnarok with Ragnarok.
Right, right.
I was expecting this to be something that makes Star Wars looks like, you know, the Persian Gulf.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, where's the end
where's
of the world?
Where's Ragnarok?
Like,
and all you had was Surtur friggin' setting the place on fire.
Right, right. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I think he's a pretty good Loki.
Oh, boy. Like my listeners are gonna love you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Mickey thought I was absolutely insane when I decided to get the Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
The Johnny Depp, okay. She actually liked the Tom Hiddleston. She's like, why?
Right.
But yeah, so. Yeah, Mickey, I now have a Loki pillowcase.
Oh.
So I sleep with Loki every night.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out a way to put the Loki small, you know, regular bedside pillow case on my body pillow. I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. But yeah.
I mean, they make those anime girl pillows. I'm sure you can get one of those.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. I need to see. And once again, something else to be posted to the blog. If I find a Loki or a Johnny Depp body pillow or a body pillow case, I will post it to the blog so you guys can find them too.
Oh, my God. You know what? You're on. All right, at this point, I dare you.
Oh, really? You know what happens when you do that?
What?
What happens when you try to stomp me?
I'm not going to press this any further. And you're going to thank me for that.
But seriously, what happens? Come on, you can say it. Everybody already knows.
You end up saying, is that right? And then you basically give the finger, and then you charge forward.
And I end up proving you wrong.
That's right.
See, I'm always right. People would say a lot of time if they just listened to me. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
And you're so welcome.
Absolutely. I love a challenge. Hey, it took me 27 years to get to you. Anyway, we go off track. We digress. But yeah, Mickey, we just wanted to get you on the podcast for a minute or two. Say congrats publicly and as publicly as we can with four listeners. But publicly for the wedding, and congratulations to Kat as well. Kat got the better end of the deal, I think. But yeah, give everybody hugs and kisses for me and tell my little Dee Dee that my guy loves her much.
All right, I will.
And baby, I'll give you a call when we get done recording and we'll catch up then, okay?
Okay.
Well, wishes and good things, Mickey.
Thanks.
Keep up.
Bye.
All right, bye, you guys.
Bye. Okay, so that was my daughter, Mickey. And Carrie, I think that's the first time you've actually talked to her.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to...
We're only missing one. Actually, we're only missing two.
We're missing two. You've not talked to Katie, and you've not talked to... wait, you have talked to Mars, haven't you?
Right, I'm talking about Lee.
Ah, yes, we got to get Lee on the podcast.
We got to get Lee on the podcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't wait for his perspective.
Oh my goodness, me either, because whatever it is, he's going to surprise me.
Oh, it's going to be deep. Actually, Lee will keep us there for an hour if we want. If you want an existential explanation of what happened in Loki, which this boy studied.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah.
Of course he did. Of course he did. He is brilliant.
That might actually be a hell of an episode.
You know, it probably would be. We'll have to talk to Lee, see what he feels about, how he feels about maybe expounding on some of his theories.
Holy shit. Maybe. Hey. Now we're getting to be mad scientists, Jennifer.
Ladies
and gentlemen, lucky you.
No. We are not the mad scientists. We are the company that is employing the mad scientist. Lee is the mad scientist.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
We are more umbrella corporation.
Absolutely. Without the, inside out dogs and stuff. So.
Right.
Oh, and once again, we are running over on time. We have actually passed the hour mark by about a minute and a half. So,
give you an hour.
Yep. Is there anything else you would like to say before we bring this episode to a close?
No. I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And if you are enjoying it with family, God bless you.
Absolutely, because, never mind. I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I'm going to be nice.
Right.
But,
God bless you, but probably not in the conventional.
Well, God bless you because you're dealing with family.
Yeah, except because you're a saint.
Exactly. Okay, and before we sign off, of course, we do have our dedicated phone line, which still has not rung yet, which is 765-681-7313. That is Devheads and Hiddlestoners. You give us a call on that line, leave us a message, and we will definitely, me or Carrie One, will get back with you. If you want to leave a message for Barry as well, you can do that, and we will make sure he gets it.
Benefactor.
Absolutely, he is. He has been, and I believe he always will be. He 100% believes in the podcast, which, you know, that says a lot. So definitely give us a call. If you don't want to use the telephone, then we can do the whole email, devheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com, or send us a message on the blog, which is devheadshiddlestoners.com, or go through barryreese.net and click on the link. Anyway, we will catch you guys later. Be safe, be sweet, peace and love.
Love and peace.
Peace out, guys. Bye.
Bye.